BBC News with David Austin. The United States House of Representatives has approved what's described as the biggest overhaul of financial regulation since the Great Depression of the 1930s. The reforms were proposed by President Obama in July to prevent a repeat of last year's financial crisis. Andrew Walker has more.
For President Obama, reforming financial regulation was always a high priority. Now the House of Representatives has approved the administration's proposals, although with some amendments. If the legislation does come into force, it'll create a new agency to protect consumers in their dealings with the financial sector. There'll be more regulation of financial derivatives. There are also new arrangements intended to enable the government to wind down large firms that are critical for the entire financial system if they get into serious difficulty.
The Pope is ordering a major reorganisation of the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland, a month after a government investigation exposed a church cover-up of the sexual abuse of children by priests. The announcement comes after Pope Benedict summoned Irish church leaders to Rome. David Willey reports.
The Vatican announced that the Pope will shortly be writing a pastoral letter to his Catholic flock in Ireland, outlining measures he intends to take to ensure there is no repetition of the paedophile priest scandal, which has been catalogued in a devastating recent report by an Irish government commission of inquiry. There's been no word on possible resignations of Irish bishops, but the language used by the Vatican in its communique, issued after the 90-minute crisis meeting chaired by the Pope, left no doubt that eventually heads are going to roll.
The British government is punishing more than 20 Kenyans for alleged corruption by banning them from visiting Britain. Those barred include top Kenyan civil servants and politicians. The British High Commissioner to Kenya said it would be better if the individuals were prosecuted by the Kenyan authorities, but no senior figure had ever been successfully tried for corruption in a Kenyan court. Muslim leaders in Senegal have denounced an enormous statue being built in the capital, Dhaka. The structure, which will be taller than the Statue of Liberty in New York when it's finished, is the brainchild of the president of Senegal, Abdoulaye Wade. Here's our West Africa correspondent, Casper Layton.
The imams are tapping into a strong vein of discontent with the giant statue. The main controversy has been the cost. At $27 million, it's a big outlay for a poor country. It's also on questionable aesthetic ground. Depicting a muscular man holding aloft a child and sweeping a woman along behind him, it's pure socialist realism and not very African. It's being built by North Korea. Imams agreed a text for Friday's sermons, quoting the Quran and the Hadith, which forms a denunciation of the idolatrous nature of the giant structure.
That was our West Africa correspondent, Casper Layton. World News from the BBC. The South African government says it's short of thousands of hotel beds for football fans expected at next year's World Cup. The Ministry of Tourism has told the BBC that it has 14,000 too few beds in Rustenburg, which hosts the group including England and the United States. Football fans following matches at Polokwane are being told that they may have to seek a hotel room in neighbouring Zimbabwe. There have been mixed results on the first day of an auction of the rights to exploit Iraq's 10 largest untapped oil fields. The Majnoon field in southern Iraq was won by a consortium led by Shell. Rights for the Halfaya oil field went to a consortium led by the Chinese state oil company. But fields near Baghdad and in the volatile Diyala province attracted no bids. The Iraqi president, Nouri al-Maliki, said his government would ensure stability for foreign contractors.
I would like to reassure the companies that security will be stable, so that the companies can work with even better protection from the government.
The auction of five other fields, including the immense West Kurna Phase 2, continues on Saturday. Turkey's highest court has ruled in favour of banning the country's largest pro-Kurdish party, the Democratic Society Party, or DTP, because of its alleged support for Kurdish separatist rebels. The case has been criticised by the European Union. Jonathan Head has this report from Istanbul.
After sitting on this case for 2 years, it took the 11 judges of the Constitutional Court just 3 days to decide that the only political party representing the Kurdish minority should be abolished. The DCP has 21 MPs in Parliament and a large number of city mayors. Many of them now face a 5-year ban from politics. This verdict is a serious setback for the government as it tries to push through a package of reforms aimed at winning over the alienated Kurdish community and persuading Kurdish insurgents to lay down their weapons.
And that's the BBC News.